this weekend. We started with the tabernacle and Moses and that whole story and how it's moved from outside the camp to inside our hearts. And then last night with the breath of fresh air at the creek being fed by ravens, God, that you sustain us and you call us to do difficult things. And even when crazy women are chasing us, God, you are more than enough. So today, this morning, I am excited to hear the words of wisdom that you have imparted to this man and you will release through him to us. Would you allow us with your Holy Spirit to receive them in the way that you need them to be received? Our response with prayer was yes, Lord. So we take the blessing from Travis and we say, yes, Lord, we will apply it. Bless him for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, what an honor to be here. How many are joining us that you are not here this weekend, but you just joined? You just came. We are so glad you're here. We have had an amazing weekend together, and it's an honor that you have joined us this morning. And again, I just want to honor Pastor David and Lisa for hosting this and in their grounds and doing all the work, as well as Pastor Cliff and Connie and just their entire churches. And Lena and Dell, I don't know, they're busy. Oh, there they are. I thought you were doing stuff. You're always doing stuff. And so thank you so much for the incredible hospitality, hosting Jess and Elijah and I, and making this happen. And so can we give it up for all these people that serve and so many more? But it's such an honor to be here. And sometimes we don't know the work that happens behind the scenes to make weekends like this happen. It's a lot of work. And so just from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much. This has been amazing. What, like, amazing weather. Okay, I'm from Edmonton. So this is like God has come, you know? Like, you just, it's amazing. You live in a blessed place. And we just loved being here. And for those that have joined, I'm born in Edmonton, Alberta. I was actually an engineer. So I studied computer engineering for 5 years, graduated with an engineering degree from the University of Alberta. And then I was, you know, working for an oil company. I was about to be in management of that oil company. And I had heard God's voice. And sometimes you're like, God, is that you? Is that the devil? Or is that the pepperoni pizza? You know? How do we know what his voice sounds like? And I heard his voice to quit my job. And I went and served the ministry for a year and then ended up working for them for 8 years, running youth conferences. And then in 2008, God put this burden for young adults that were leaving the church and they weren't encountering Jesus. And we started doing some gatherings downtown in the Paramount Theater in Edmonton. 300 young adults showed up the first night. And God spoke to me, said, it's not about a night, it's not about a service, but how do you live this Christian, spirit-filled life every day? And you're going to call a generation to do that. So for the last 18 years, I've been leading Resurgence. Last, I think, 13 years full-time. Shared a little bit about that last night. And our mandate is to reach people, revive churches, and release leaders. And so get to travel all over, work with churches, work with leaders, help raise up evangelists for the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada and other organizations, and going, how do we reach Canada? You know, how could we see everybody in Canada, but also in the world, hear the good news of Jesus? Mm-hmm. And that's the heart. And so we've been partnering on some projects in El Salvador and different places. I've been up to the Arctic and a lot of First Nations communities. We have some plans again this fall to go in there. And then actually we've said yes to the first time for doing a big outreach in the country of Thailand. And so we're partnering with some churches there in a least reached area. There's about 900,000 people in this one area called Supanburi, and there's 6 churches that were working together, and now there's 30 churches that are working together. And there's 900,000 people, there's 1,000 believers.
Wow.
And so as we've been already partnering, doing Zoom calls, I flew there in February. We just thought, hey, I think we need to be a part of this. And honestly, we were there and we're going, should we be a part of this? How can we serve? And my heart is not to come do something, but empower local people, empower pastors that go, hey, how can we believe in you and see you reach your area, what God's given you, and empower the local church. And as we've been doing that, we're up to 30 churches that are involved. They're praying weekly. I joined on a Zoom call last week. There's an African guy that God called to go there, and he's leading prayer. And God is doing something. 200 people already got saved through a gospel truck outreach in that area. Again, there's only 1,000 believers. So when 200 people come into the kingdom, that's pretty amazing. And so next March, we're going to go and do, they're renting a basketball arena. And I said, well, how big is a basketball arena? 500? They go, no, Pastor, it has 5,000 seats. We've never seen 5,000 people gather. And I'm like, okay. And the faith is there. And we just said, so we're coming. I don't know what it's even going to cost. We're raising the money as a ministry. We're going to serve it. And so those are the things that God has put on our heart. And we're just continuing to go through the doors that he opens. And so everywhere I go, I talk a little bit about our ministry. You can find out more on, we're on Instagram at Live Resurgence, or our website, liveresurgence.com. But if God would put on your heart, you know, all of our, everything we've done is because people have said, hey, we need to sow. We need to give monthly. We need to sow into that ministry. And so everywhere I go, I just give that opportunity that if God would put on your heart that you need to sow, that something that I spoke this weekend, you know, I need to give to that. You can go to liveresurgence.com, I know, or givingnow.ca, and you can sign up to partner or to give, and that would be amazing, because I know God has it. And I sometimes go, God, how's it going to come together? But you know what? God draws people from all over, and they give, and it's incredible what God does together. So again, such an honor to be here. I love camp. And love what God's doing in this place this weekend. And he placed three messages, as Pastor David said, on my heart. Number one was the encounter, the place of encounter. But last night we talked about a place of breakthrough, of purpose, and how God's glory shows up, and how that happens. We talked about Elijah. But this morning, the word that I have for you is, there is a place for the one. There is a place for the one, if you're taking notes. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. And I'm gonna start there in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, take up your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things." Here's the reality that I preach from. Everything is possible, that God is in this place today. And I don't know what brought you to church or brought you to this camp, but I just believe God wants to meet every single one of us today. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit.
Yeah.
And his very presence is in this tent today. It's in this parking lot today, in this field today. And God wants to meet with us today. And, you know, there's an anointing here. And the Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the heavy things. It's the anointing that breaks every stronghold, everything that we're facing that's hard and tough. It's the anointing that can break through. And you know, when you read this story, I observe one thing in the story, Jesus. See, we read one day Jesus. Let's stop right there. Sometimes we assume we're in a church and we're talking, we're in a Bible church, and we can assume all these things. We assume the story is here. But can I tell you, this story is here because of one person, Jesus. Everyone is gathered in that room, in that place. Why? Because of Jesus. Everyone is in this place today. Why? Because of one person, Jesus. No other reason. And everyone is in that house because Jesus is there. At the end of the Old Testament until the beginning of the New Testament, there were 400 years. 400 years where God had been speaking through his prophets, and all of a sudden, everything seemed to go silent for 400 years. That's a long time. That's generations. Generations passed, and there was no prophets, there was no God speaking, there was no things written, and it seemed like God was silent for 400 years. Malachi, or the Italian prophet Malachi, spoke the words of God, and then it was silent. And then all of a sudden, the Gospels come. The New Testament comes. We see the account of the silence being shattered. Why? Because Jesus' birth, Jesus showed up. See, Jesus' birth was a miracle. He was born to a virgin woman. John 1 declares that Jesus is God. He has the Word. He was the Word that became flesh. Side note, if we want to know Jesus, we need to know the Word. Because he was the Word that became flesh. Amen. Come on, I got one amen. Jesus is a miracle. The very fact that the Son of God would come down to earth is a miracle. The very fact born to a virgin, miracle. The very fact that he would die, live a sinless life, die on the cross, then be resurrected. Can I say miracle, miracle, miracle? The reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what we believe is a miracle. And in John 1, he is walking. And John the Baptist sees him and says, look, see God's Lamb. And he knew that Jesus was a fulfillment of prophecy. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And two people heard him saying this, and they're like, huh? What are you talking about? See, in the Greek, behold carries a few ideas, but it means take notice. Take notice of that guy. So John the Baptist is saying, take notice of Jesus. Take notice of him. It also means to turn your eyes towards him. Look at him. Turn your eyes. Gain knowledge, inspect him, cherish him. So John is basically saying to his two disciples, turn your eyes upon him. Take notice of that man. And so the Bible says this, they went after him. See, when you encounter the one Jesus, you can call it curiosity, you can call it hunger, you can call it compulsion, desire, but when you encounter Jesus, something causes you to go after him. There's a hunger, there's a stirring. What is that? Who is that? I want to know. And so they went after him. Jesus turned and saw them coming. I could stop right there and preach a whole message. I'm thankful there's a God who turns and sees me. There's a God that turns and sees you. Whatever you're going through today, there's a God who turns and sees us. And Jesus turns and saw them coming. And he asks us this question. What are you looking for? And I want to ask you today in Salmon Arm, as we've gathered from Vernon and Salmon Arm on a beautiful Sunday morning, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? What are you hungry for? What are you thirsting after? What are you moving towards? See, Jesus causes movement from milk to steak, from glory to glory. He's always doing something new. And so I want to ask you, what in your heart are you looking for today? What are you going after today? What are you seeking today? And they say this to Jesus. I find this so funny. They go, Jesus, where do you live? I don't know what question I would ask Jesus if he said, you know, what are you seeking? Where do you live, Jesus? Do you live in a Sprinter van down by Shuswap Lake? Do you live in a trailer in a parking lot at Five Corners Church? Like do you live at a hotel? Like, Jesus, where do you live? And he says, come and see. The Christian journey always begins at come and see. Jesus says to every single one of us, come and see. Come and see that I am good. Come and see. And you know what, though? But it doesn't end there. It's a move towards, it's a trajectory towards more. He's calling us deeper. So they went with Jesus the rest of the day. Andrew then went and got Simon, and they said this, we found the Messiah. See, they spent time with Jesus, and they had a revelation of who Jesus really was. He was the Messiah. See, come and see will take you to an encounter and a revelation of the identity of Jesus. It'll bring you to a moment where it's a come and die moment. Come and lay down your cross and follow me moment. See, an encounter with one will change everything. And here, now, days later, there's a house filled with people. And Jesus is in this house. Maybe these same disciples are hosting Jesus. They're not sure whose house it was, but the religious leaders are there. They've packed up the house because they've heard about this Jesus guy, and he's causing an issue. So the religious people are there, and they're like, we need to figure this out. But there's also the hungry are there. people that just are like, let's come and see. Let's see what this is about. They're coming from every village, it says. The scripture says every village, even the big city, they came. Something was happening. And the Bible says this, as we read, and the power of the Lord was present with Jesus to heal the sick.
Yeah.
God put on my heart this morning to remind you that it's the power of God that shifts principalities. It's the power of God that heals hearts. It's the power of God that calls you forth. It's the power of God that can do a good work in you. It's the power of God that can break depression and break anxiety and break fear and heal your body and heal your heart and heal your mind and break every stronghold. It's the power of God. It's not the power of anything else. It's the power of God that can save us. It's the power of God that can bring new dreams. It's the power of God that grows a church. It's the power of God that uses us.
Amen.
See, it's the power of God. It's the word in flesh that draws, and we turn and see. And here Jesus is there, and stuff is happening after 400 years of nothing happening. And now Jesus is on the scene, and the power of God is at work. Listen, I want to declare today the power of God is in this place today. I don't know what you came in here with. I don't know what's burdening you. I don't know what's going on. But can I declare today it's the power of God that can come and set you free. It's the power of God that can do a work that no man, no doctor, no good idea can do. It's the power of God.
Amen.
You know, a friend of mine, Shayla Visser, who leads Alpha in North America, had her speak recently at an evangelist conference we did. And she relayed a story to me about a conference they just did for Alpha in London. And they had an atheist historian, author Tom Holland. Some of you may have read his books. Tom Holland has written books on the rise and fall of Christianity from a sociologist's point of view of going, hey, what's happened to Christianity and the rise and fall of it? And he was interviewed on this panel, and he was there with all these Christian pastors and leaders. And he basically said this. He said, you have said we feed the poor. And he said, as Christians, you've said we feed the poor. He goes, non-Christians feed the poor. You've said you help the widows. You have mercy. Most non-Christians help the widows and do mercy. He said, non-Christians do all of that. But there's something that Christians do that the others aren't doing, as I've studied. And here's a self-professing atheist moving towards becoming a Christian. Calling Christian pastors and leaders, he says, you know what you have that is a key to your movement, to your religion, to Christianity that no one else has? You have the weird stuff. You have the weird stuff. No one else can do the weird stuff. What's the weird stuff he was talking about? Signs, wonders, healings, miracles, the power of God. And he said, listen, can I tell you as leaders, do the weird stuff. Because that's how your movement started, and that's how your movement's growing. All over the world that we've been, listen, the movement of the Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, whatever you want to call it, is growing. The church is growing because of the weird stuff. Because the power of God has a place. God is moving. God is saving people. I think sometimes we hide the weird stuff and think, oh, I don't know. People don't want to see the weird stuff. Can I say the decline of the church in North America is because we hid the weird stuff? Listen, there's a generation, Gen Z, that's going, I want to experience. Don't tell me about it. Show me. Show me that God is real. Show me that His presence is real. Show me that God can heal me. And then, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, Romans 1:16.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. See, but there are obstacles to encountering Jesus. And the paralyzed man couldn't get into the house. There were too many people. He couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't have Jesus see him, and he couldn't get prayer. The prayer team couldn't get to him. He couldn't get prayer. There was no accessibility to Jesus. There was no accessible ramp for him. There was no door that would go when he hit the button. There was no way for him. See, the religious had their seats. The people were standing outside the door, but there was no room for the paralyzed men. And to add to this, in that day, if you were paralyzed, people judged you. It wasn't just you were paralyzed. They judged you because there was this thought that you were unclean and possibly sick because of something you did. You had sinned. The condition was your fault. And so even if you got paralyzed, say you were driving your donkey, and a donkey driver who was impaired ran into your donkey, and you got paralyzed. It was your fault. you were unclean. So there were blocks physically, but there were also blocks in here in his heart. There was guilt, there was shame, there was fear, there was doubt. And it kept him from having access to Jesus. There was no room, no overflow, no second service, no online stream. He couldn't get to Jesus. That's disappointing. Hope deferred, the Bible says, makes the heart go sick. And here's what I found. There are three things that can block me and you from encountering God and encountering the Holy Spirit. Number one, me. You. God will not force himself on you. He paid the ultimate price. He offered the gift freely of the Holy Spirit. He offered salvation freely. But there is a choice that you and I need to make and say yes to Jesus, to receive that free gift, to not just come and see, but ultimately, like the disciples decided, to come and die, to come and lay down our lives and say, I surrender all to you, Jesus. Number two, people. Fear of people can hold us back. People crowding, judgments of people, hurt from people, people pushing ahead of us. That can hold us back from all that God wants to do in our lives. And number three, the enemy. I'm not a big devil credit giver. But listen, the Bible says we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Powers, you know it. We struggle against things. See, the voices in my head that tell me I don't deserve access, if people really knew you, they wouldn't like you. Those kind of voices, that's not of God. That's of the enemy. And God wants to silence those. Those ones that would say to you, maybe you're in this place today, and they say, you don't deserve to be here. If people really knew what was wrong with you, they wouldn't like you. They wouldn't accept you. That's the enemy. Amen. And we break that off. You are supposed to be here today.
Yeah.
God loves you, and he wants you to be here today. Yeah. And he has a plan for you. See, there was no accessibility. He never got a spot. But Jesus didn't come for those with the all-access pass. He came for every single one of us. And he came for every single one of us in Salmon Arm, in Vernon, in Okanagan, in Canada, in this world. See, the one Jesus who changes everything is available for everyone. Every one of us. See, and then we see that everyone has access to Jesus. For you and me. But church, I don't know what obstacles you're facing today. I don't know the doctor's reports. I don't know what's going on in your home. But here's what I want to tell you today. There is access to Jesus today. There is access for you to Jesus. See, faith eliminates the obstacles that we can all have. And in this story, four men, or it says four, some versions four, some says a group of men, try carrying the man on the mat. They hit obstacles. I wonder when they signed up, like, oh, this guy needs to get into the church. They're like, okay, I'll help him. And then they're like, oh, this isn't an easy thing. All of a sudden, we can't get him in the front door. What are we going to do? Okay, pick up the sawzalls, get the tools, get the pulleys. Okay, we're going to haul him up the stairs. So they're hauling him up the stairs. I don't know what possessed them to have this much energy to do this, but they maybe had been with Jesus themselves and knew that Jesus could do something. So when they couldn't find a way to get to the way, they start climbing up the stairs. Can you imagine the owner of the house?
Just okay? That fixed.
Like, they pull up the sawzalls and they're digging through this ceiling. I mean, Jesus is teaching. As he's teaching, there's dust starting to come down. There's pieces of drywall. Again, they didn't have drywall that day, but let's say mud, and all this is starting to fall. And the kids in the front row are like looking up and like, what is happening? And look, it's Aladdin on a mat. I knew the genie was real. You know, it's a magic carpet. It's coming down. This carpet's coming down with this man on it. And they're yelling, going, don't pull. Pull on the left. Pull on the right. Don't drop the guy. It'll be dead guy, not paralyzed guy. And the religious are there, and they're ticked because they're there to try to nail Jesus. They're there to say Jesus is wrong. They're there, and they're getting distracted by this, and they're going, well, why is this happening? Stop. You know, all this is going on. But see, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, there was faith in those four guys to bring someone to Jesus who could never get to Jesus by their own. And something stirred them to say, and when Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man on the mat, it says, friend, your sins are forgiven. See, not paralyzed Aladdin on the mat, not the paralyzed guy, but four nameless guys who worked hard to take someone to Jesus who wouldn't have access on their own. Today we need to be reminded that faith is the only way we can access Jesus. See, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Romans 10:13. See, faith pushed past every obstacle and got this man to Jesus. See, if you wait for the obstacles to move, you'll never get to the encounter. It's faith to say, God, even our relationship with Jesus, to come into relationship, there's a faith step every one of us have to make. It's not you'll all make sense. And I'm an analytical guy, so I wanted to make sense. But there was a moment where I had to go, it doesn't make sense, but it's okay because he's bigger than me. If it made sense, then God would fit into my mind.
Yeah.
But he's bigger. He created me in his image. It doesn't make sense. See, faith breaks the limits. And then we see this, the authority of the one impacts everyone. Something else is actually happening in the story. We have a showdown. We have the religious people are there, and the teachers of the law are there, and they heard about Jesus. And this crazy teacher is drawing people, so they're concerned. So they're there. And in the Bible times, it was a little different, the school setup. So at school, and I grew up, we'd sit in our desks, and the teacher would stand. But in Bible times, the sign of authority and religious authority, the teachers would actually sit, and the students would stand. So in this story, it looks like we have the religious, they're sitting, and we have, there's many think Jesus was also sitting. In Matthew 5, he sat when he taught the Beatitudes. And so here we have this standoff. Well, who's the one with authority in this place? Is it Jesus, or is it the religious leaders who've always been in authority? And so there's tension in the room. And in this tension, we have this man that gets healed. And he gets healed. And see, Jesus sees past the obstacles physically, and he doesn't actually heal him. He forgives his sins the first thing he does. Well, that's not what they expected. Everybody expect Jesus to say, be healed. He goes, no, your sins are forgiven. Well, who can do that? Only God can do that. So now you have this thing going on, and at this moment, he forgives their sins. He's not just a teacher, not a good guy. He's not a book to read, but he is the way to God. He is the Messiah. He has an authority. And when he exercises his authority, it causes a stir in the room. Why? They were expecting to be healed, but Jesus says, I see your heart, and I want to see your heart well before your body's well. And when your heart's well, your body will be well too. Jesus, and then they say this, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law begin thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus knew what they were thinking, word of knowledge. Boom. And he says, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus reads their mind. Like, this is a showdown, and Jesus just played the ultimate hand. And they're like, what do we say? They don't know what to say. They're like, who do they think he is? And he's like, God's Son. Boom. That's who I am.
Yeah.
See, Jesus came to establish his kingdom on earth. That's his primary purpose. It was a marking point. Jesus just isn't a good teacher or a good person. He is the Son of Man. He is the only way to the Father. He established the kingdom. And at that moment, everything changes. Why? Because Jesus has authority. See, he was the anointed one. And there was a presence in the house, undeniable. See, I'm convinced of this. Good ideas, good strategies, good programs, good hearts, well-meaning people, nice things won't see Canada changed. Won't see people healed. Won't see people saved. One thing that will see people saved, the power of God. Jesus will save people. Jesus will change hearts. Jesus will move in your family and in your job and your place. It's Jesus that changes things.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, authority is like a backing. You know, if I was walking down the street in Salmon Arm and someone said stop, I might not stop. Might be like, they're kind of crazy, I'm not stopping. But if it's an RCMP officer, I will be stopping. Because I do not want to go to jail. Because they have authority. They have a badge. They have sirens. They have authority to do something. And that's what it is that Jesus has an authority. Has the authority not just to heal, but to forgive. And as a result, I can forgive people. that hurt me and release them, and that hold me back from all that offense and hurt. Why? Because Jesus forgave me. Because there's an authority. See, we need to know the divine authority of Jesus that comes from knowing him. And then it says this. The Bible says everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we've seen remarkable things today. You know what happens? Shared experience unites people. They saw what God did and they're like, wow, this is amazing. And my last point this morning is Jesus empowers everyone to see the one. See, Jesus in the house full of people saw the one on the mat. He forgave him, healed him, touched him. He stands up. His muscles were weak and shaky, but he stands and it says there's joy in the house. Forgiven sins and now healed. What do you say? And Jesus says to him, take up your mat and go. Take up the very thing that's been holding you back and now take that thing up. And he went praising God. See, there is a place for the one. You are the one and there is a place for each of us, but it doesn't stop there because there is ones all around us every day that need to know Jesus.
Yeah.
Listen, there are people everywhere that need to know Jesus. See, I want to declare that the story of our lives is that Jesus heals us, touches us, saves us. But then we take up that mat, that testimony, and then we can share that and say, listen, this is what God did in my life, and he can do it in your life. He set me free of this addiction. He set my marriage free. He healed my heart. He did this. Listen, he can do the same for you.
Yeah.
Want me to tell you about it? That's the call of each one of us. See, God is a God of one and the God of many. He's available to my heart, but he's also available to your heart. And he's available to every single one in the neighborhoods and the communities we live in. You know, I stand here before you because of a story that happened in my family. You know, my grandparents immigrated from Poland in 1930. They got on a boat and they came to Canada. They were promised land. They landed, I think, in the East Coast. I think a port in Montreal. And then they took a train. And if they came to Alberta, they were given a homestead, a piece of land. It had trees and rocks. And so they, by hand, had to pick all the rocks off and cut all the trees. But if they did that, they got the land. And so my grandparents came. They had six kids. But at 40 years old, again, they didn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They knew about God. They grew up in a culture that knew about God, but they didn't have a personal relationship. And at 40 years old, my grandmother got very ill. She was given up to die. She went on a train to Edmonton, and they said, from her small community, Vilna, Alberta, and they said, listen, you are not going to make it. Call the priest to do the last rites that they do. This is over. We don't know. Something's wrong in your stomach. Maybe it was cancer at that time. They didn't have tools to figure that out. I don't know what was wrong, but she was dying. So she was on her deathbed in her one-room house and with six kids, and she couldn't get out of bed, and she was ready to die. And my grandfather was sitting out on his porch. And a neighbor happened to come over and said, hey, I want to invite you. There's a service at the Pentecostal church in Vilna. I want to invite you to come to a service. He goes, well, I don't do that kind of thing. He goes, well, what do you have to lose? Come. So there was an evangelist that happened to be in town at that Pentecostal church. And as he went there, he got prayer, and he came home, and he walked into that one-room house, and my grandmother was sitting up, brushing her daughter's hair, completely healed.
Mm-hmm.
Completely healed.
Yeah.
My grandmother was 40 years old. She lived till she was 95. I knew my grandmother. It transformed my dad's life and the family's life. So I stand here today because of that story. And I want to ask you, what's the miracle in the story? See, there's many parts to it. Yes, God did the miracle. God did the healing. But I want to look at all the parts that made that possible. There was a church in Vilna. Somebody put a church there. Somebody with their money and probably with their building skills built that church from scratch. some pastor somewhere said, I feel the calling to go to a small town Vilna. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to go there and I'm going to be a pastor in that church. They answered the call to go there. And then that pastor said, I'm going to invite an evangelist. I don't know who the evangelist was. I don't know where he's from. I don't know how he traveled there. I don't know the cost to get there. But listen, he went there, and because God called him to go there, and he was there. And years later, I'm standing before you. Why? Because all those people did their part. But there was one more person in the story. There was a neighbor. A neighbor. And he said, would you come? Would you invite? Listen, I can tell you, you might not be an evangelist, you might not be a builder to build a church, you might not be a pastor, but every one of us are neighbors.
Yeah.
Every one of us can invite someone. Every one of us can take a corner of a mat and take someone to Jesus. Listen, you don't have to heal someone because you can't. I can't either. You don't have to save someone because you can't and I can't either. You don't have to deliver them because you can't and I can't. All you need to do is take that mat to Jesus. Find an opportunity to bring them, an opportunity to tell a neighbor, to say, hey, would you come? Would you come be a part of it? Listen, we have lost our focus in the North American church. We become about the priorities. We become good consumers. Oh, we like our music. We like our carpet. Oh, we need the right color carpet. We need these things. Can I say with love? We've lost focus. It's about the church. If we read the Bible, the mission of God, God sent every one of us. He said, you're on mission. And the mission of God has a church. See, I grew up with the philosophy that the church had a missions department. Oh, give a little bit to the missions. Oh, we do a little bit. Oh, the pastor, he's supposed to reach the people. We pay the pastor, reach more people, pastor. You're not reaching enough people. Instead of us reach the people. And the pastor's equipping and helping us. But we're on a mission. The church of the mission of God has a church. Not the church of God has a mission. It's the mission of God has a church. That's part of it. We're all on mission. We're all to carry good news. You know, I had a friend, he went to Krispy Kreme Donuts. Has anyone had a Krispy Kreme Donut? I'm making you hungry just before lunch. But if Krispy Kreme Donuts, they make donuts fresh. They're really good. And they came to Calgary, or I think Edmonton, and then they closed down about 15 years ago because we were too healthy. But now they're actually back. So we've lost our health, and we're coming back. And so they come back, and they turn a red light on when they're making fresh donuts. It says hot and ready or something. And the red light, you know, if you go there, there's hot, fresh donuts. Well, my friend went to one, and he's like, oh, the light's not on. I'm going to get older donuts. Okay, fine. So he goes in there, but the conveyor belt's going. And there's hot donuts. And he's like, this is amazing. So he tells the lady, hey, just so you know, your light's off. She goes, oh, I hate that thing. Because when I turn it on, it gets so busy. So somewhere along the way, she lost the purpose of Krispy Kreme donuts. She lost the purpose was to sell donuts, to get people in there. And I wonder sometimes as a church, and I'm speaking to myself, I'm speaking to all, have we lost the purpose of the church sometimes? Where we're like, it's about us. It's about our, oh, I don't like that song. Oh, the pastor, oh, he didn't say hi to me today. Oh, that person didn't. And we take on these things. Listen, if you've grown up in a church, can I tell you some news? I just want to tell you. If you are in a church, if you've grown up in a church, you're going to get hurt. If you haven't yet, it's coming soon. I'm sorry to tell you, you'll be hurt. Somebody won't invite you to the potluck. Somebody won't say, Pastor Cliff won't say hi to you. I mean, he says hi to everyone. But one Sunday, he's not going to say hi to you. And you're going to go, he didn't say hi to me today. Why did Connie miss saying hi to me? Why? Well, she talked to someone else, but she didn't talk to me. Listen, you're going to get hurt. Why? Because a church is filled with people, and hurt people hurt people. We're filled with people that are hurting, and there are times somebody's going to say something. Someone's going to leave you out. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to come. And listen, I want to tell you, if that's going to keep you away from church, you're missing the point. Mm-hmm. Come back again and say, okay, that hurt, but God can heal me. It's okay. I'm bigger than that. Listen, my dad ushered for 40 years in a church. They did a thank you book, and they missed his picture after 40 years of ushering in his church. He was hurt by that.
No
kidding. Every single guy who was ushering for 2 weeks got in the book. For 40 years. You know what my dad said? I'll give it to Jesus and I'll be back ushering next Sunday. And he served in that church almost 65 years of his life. My mom still goes to that church. Listen, sometimes we get this idea that church is about us. It's not about us, it's about him. And I just want to speak, you know what, listen, we all can go, I grew up in a church that had a church split, had church stuff, it was brutal. But listen, there's a moment where we have to go, listen, it's not about us. I can't take the offense on of others. I can't take other people's offense, but I take my offense and give it to Jesus. Because it's not about me.
Yeah.
And so I just want to speak that. Listen, you're going to go through tough stuff, but Jesus is still on the throne.
Yes,
and there are people that still need to be reached.
Yeah.
And listen, you can go from church to church. I know people that go from church to church to church, and there's always something wrong.
Yeah.
Always something wrong. And then I kind of go, I wonder if something's wrong with you. I mean, that's just part of it. And we're hurt people. There's stuff that happens. And so, listen, God wants to heal those wounds. God wants to set us free from church hurt. Why? So we can be the neighbors and invite someone to church and see people come to Jesus. Yeah. Listen, sometimes we're so stuck in those preferences that we miss the whole point of it all.
Yeah.
It is about Jesus, bringing one to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, we were in Amsterdam a few years ago, and Rick Warren was there speaking at a conference, and Rick Warren said this: if you want the anointing of God, care about what he cares about. He cares about lost children coming home. God is looking for people that make God's dream their dream. Stop saying, God bless my dream. See what he's blessing. God won't spare anything for someone who makes God's dream their dream. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life. I want to make my life count. You know, Matthew 9:37 said, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. See, I grew up in a philosophy that sometimes would say, hey, we need to survive the worldly culture around us. We need to not transform it, but just survive it. But that's denying who's inside of us. The resurrected power of Jesus is inside of us. And I believe God is not just wanting to us to survive culture, but transform culture, to be the leaders in culture, to be in every sphere of influence going, listen, there's Christians in schools, there's Christians in the healthcare system, there are believers that are standing on the word of God in the business. There, in every area of society, in politics, we need believers to stand. Listen, we need in every sphere. People that say, listen, I just don't want to go to church and avoid the culture. Avoid the city. See, cultural relevance is too low a goal. Jesus came for cultural renewal, to change the very fabric. See, I'll close with this last story, and then we'll close this morning, and we'll eat pulled pork. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Jess and I were coming back from this same conference. In Amsterdam, and we had flown from, if anyone knows, when you fly from Amsterdam to Toronto, it's a long flight, 8 hours. We're jet lagged, we're flying back to actually Seattle because we were living in Yakima, Washington at the time. She had to work the next day, do a residency, be on call at the hospital. And so she was busy. We got to the little part in the airport, we're sitting there, and she's like, oh, I got so much work and studies and stuff to do. And so she's there, and I'm like, I'm going to get a Coke, you know? So I go get a Coke. I'm just tired. It's been a long flight. I'm just like, oh, I'm just really tired. And as I'm sitting there, this entourage walks in. There's wheelchairs and there's Air Canada people, and I'm like, this is kind of strange. Like, there's this lady in a wheelchair, and then there's like a couple bodyguards, and I'm like, they're all kind of like dressed up, and I'm like, is this an artist or something? Like, who is this? I'm like, Jess, do you know who that is? She's like, I've never seen these people before, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're coming, and they walk in, and they come right beside us, and they wanted a private room, but they couldn't get a private room. And so they're there, and they're going to get some drinks and stuff, and so they're getting a coffee or something. And then I just kind of felt this prompting, like, go talk to them. And I'm like, Jess, you got a word for them? She's like, no, I'm tired. I got this, you know. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't have anything to share with them, but I just feel like the Lord prompting. And so I said this. Maybe this is unspiritual for a pastor to say, but I said, God, if you want me to talk to them, bring them to me. I just prayed that. I just said, okay, but I'm tired. I don't know. Like, am I supposed to go over there? There's bodyguards. I'm not even going to get near them. I didn't know who they are. I didn't even know what I would say to them. So all those excuses and everything. And within maybe a minute, the young girl stands up, walks right over to us and goes, is there a charger? Is there a plug that I can plug my phone in over here? And I said, well, we're using one, but you can, oh, no, no, okay. So she plugs in. And then I said, hey, I don't know, I saw you guys walk in and I believe Jesus wants to heal your broken heart and I feel like there's some, and she, the waterworks started and she just broke down like bawling. And so we pulled up a chair and Jess and I, she sat down and we start praying. She goes, oh, I'm here with my mom. She's a Grammy award winning artist. She's won 10 Grammys and she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so we were performing in Toronto last night. And she goes, I just had a breakup, and she starts sharing her story with us, and we got to pray and minister to her.
Wow.
And so she stands up, and again, reminder of reaching the one.
Yeah.
The one. Who's the one? Who's the one? And she stands up, and she walks back, and all of a sudden her mom comes back, this lady, and she looks at her daughter crying, and then she looks, her daughter points to us. I'm like, oh, dear.
Here it comes. Oh, no.
And all of a sudden, she hugs her daughter, she's got some tears, and then she walks over, so I pull the chair up. She sits down, starts sharing her life story. We get to lay hands, pray for her son, pray for her family. She's open to prayer. She goes, you've touched my daughter. She had a broken heart. She's been through a tough. She explains. She goes, that really ministered to me. She starts sharing. We get to pray for her and lay hands on her. Listen. I want to remind us today, don't miss the one.
Yeah.
There is a place for the one. Let's not lose focus as a church. Yes, oh yeah, we want to reach everyone. But listen, every one of us can reach one. Yeah. So can we close our eyes in this place today and bow our heads? And I want to give an opportunity today for a couple things. But the first thing is I want to give an opportunity if you're in this place and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Listen. God wants to give you that opportunity today, to invite him into your heart. It's why we're here. It's why this church is here. It's why this camp is here. He's changed my life, and he wants to change your life today. And in a moment, I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, and you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, to forgive you of your sins, can I tell you, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. God wants to come in. He wants to change your heart. He wants to forgive you of sins. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. It's the best thing that could ever happen. And it's free, and it's available, and he's here today. And so I'm going to count to three. One, two, and as I say three, if that's you, no one's looking around, just lift your hand up across this place, and we're going to pray for you. Three. So lift your hand if that's you. Yeah. See those hands? Couple hands up. Anyone else? Maybe you're like, hey, that could be me. Four hands. Yeah, we see that. Five.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Anyone else? Five people. Anyone else? Six. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you, Lord. Well, can we all pray this prayer? Jesus.
Jesus.
I invite you
you
to be the Lord of my life.
To be the Lord of my life.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I thank you from this day on.
I thank you from this day on.
I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Set me free.
Set me free.
From every attack of the enemy.
From every attack of the enemy.
Help me to follow you.
Help me to follow you.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
Thank you from this moment on.
Thank you from this moment on.
I am never the same.
I am never the same.
I receive your salvation.
Your salvation.
Today.
Today. Thank you, Amen. Jesus. Amen.
Listen, if you prayed that prayer today, I want you to share that with a youth leader, a pastor, somebody from one of the churches today. You can pick which church, wherever one you're close to, find somebody and share that. Listen, this is a journey. This isn't just a moment. This is a journey. And it's important that you walk with people, that it's not just a one time, oh yeah, I accepted Jesus. These are people that their life is made to help you, to walk alongside you, to mentor you, to teach you. And so you need to be a part of that. And so if you need a Bible, they can help you. And so there's Pastor Cliff and Connie, there's lots, there's Danny, there's Luke, all these people that can help you. Caitlin, there's amazing people all over that can help you and walk with you. Today, as we, why don't we stand up in this place and Ezekiel had an encounter with the Lord. And it says for 7 days and I think 7 nights he was going, there was drool down because God showed up. God encountered him. But then God said to him, get up and go. And there is a moment where we encounter the Lord, where his presence comes, where God touches and heals. But there's a moment where we get up and go. And as we get up and go to our lives, we leave this camp, we leave this service, we go and eat pulled pork, and we go on with the rest of our lives. There's a responsibility we have with what God has given us. He's encountered us, but there's a responsibility to give that away. And I want us just to close our eyes, and I just want you to think, who's the one today? Who's the one? Who's my neighbor? Who's a person? Again, I shared last night, maybe it's not just being so, just going to share your faith. Maybe it starts with making cinnamon buns for someone, making cookies for someone, starting a relationship. I have 5 people, and I'm praying for those 5 people. See, what you pray for, you care for. So maybe it's starting to go, who are the people that I need to start praying for? Because as you start praying for them, you care for them. So my neighbor, Graham, he's on that list. So I now need to, now the other day, we were doing a walk, and I wanted to go back inside the house, but they're all out chatting. So I stayed an extra half an hour just chatting, talking about Oilers hockey. Why? Because I was building a relationship. Not just for the sake of, but just to get to know him, to know his heart, to be a friend. But as I've been praying, I start to have a care for him that I never had before. So I just want you to close your eyes and I want you to think, who do I need to start praying for? Who do I need to start caring for? Who's the one? Who's the one that I need to tell about Jesus? And I'm going to pray that God would help you, that God would empower you, that God would give you the boldness and the courage to go through those doors that come open, and that there would be new opportunities. Even today, as you leave this place and go back, you would go home and all of a sudden your neighbor would come over or somebody would call you and they would say, hey, I need to talk to you. And all of a sudden there would be an open door.
Yeah.
So if you have that person, I want you to lift your hand as soon as you get it. I believe every one of us knows somebody. So if you can think of someone, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's there's someone that you're going, I'm believing for them. Just lift your hand and we're just going to pray. We're going to wait another minute. I think every one of us can think of somebody. Yeah. So God, I thank you for every single one in this place today. I thank you that you love and you call, but you also empower us to reach the one. And so, Father, I pray a commissioning right now that you would commission us by your Holy Spirit to go and to reach the ones all around us, the neighbors that need to know you, that they don't know the good news of you. I pray for a boldness. I pray for a courage. I pray that salvation would spring up from the ground. I pray that people that don't know you in our lives would learn about you even today. I pray there'd be opportunities that we would stumble upon and go, wow, we just asked for this morning, and all of a sudden I'm having opportunities to share my faith. Yeah. Father, I pray that, Father, we break off all fear. We pray a boldness. And I just sense the Lord just saying, share your testimony. Share your story. It's really easy. People want to hear stories, so share your story. And so, Father, I just thank you for an anointing over every one of your people. I thank you for these 2 churches, Five Corners and Vernon Family Church. God, we just pray a blessing over these churches, and I thank you that there's going to be great growth because of the ones that are coming in. I just, Father, we say the baptismal tanks will be busy. Yeah. In this next season. Yeah. We declare that there'll be a wave of salvations. Father, we pray over Gen Z. We pray over the young generation. Father, fill both these churches with a young generation. Father, let youth groups flourish. Let children's ministries flourish. Let young adults movements flourish in this region. Father, you're doing a new thing. I thank you for the stats that say 45% of Gen Zs have no opinion about Jesus. Father, that is good news. There is a blank slate. God, you're doing something new in Canada. And we declare and decree it as a a new season, that the church won't be in plateau or decline, the church won't be in hurt, but the church will be in health and wholeness and growth in this season. God, we thank you that in Acts the church grew. Why? Because the power of God was present. So God, I thank you that the power of God is present. Would you show every single one of us the edge of the corner of the mat that we need to grab today to take someone to Jesus that would never get to Jesus on their own?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your anointing. Yeah. I'm going to ask David to lead us in song. Can we just, let's worship him in his final moments of camp. Let's just worship the Lord in this place.